Good evening.
Good evening.
You promised to sing.
Oh, man. Tell them why, Bruce.
Brother Marvin asked me to sing tonight and play my auto harp, but I have come down with an infirmity in my wrist, and I've got to have surgery in just a few days on my wrist. And so Brother Marvin said he would sing. Said it would be the second time he had ever sung, because it would be both the first and the last. I'm blessed to be here. Thank you for your kind invitation. And I invite your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55. The prophecy of Isaiah, or if you will, the gospel according to Isaiah chapter 55. Direct your attention to verse number 6. My message is titled, Exhortations Unto Salvation, Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek Jehovah. You see that word Lord in all uppercase letters? Every time you see the word Lord or God in the Old Testament, and it's all uppercase letters, that is God's name par excellence, His name Jehovah. Seek Jehovah while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Jehovah, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. These are exhortations unto salvation. These are exhortations to the wicked and unrighteous. And this is the good news of salvation to all who heed these exhortations. Now, who are these identified as wicked and unrighteous? The wicked are condemnable in everything they do. The unrighteous are commendable in nothing that they do. And every member of mankind, you, me, every one of us, is both wicked and unrighteous in God's sight. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Lord repeated it just in case you didn't catch it the first time. There is none righteous, no, not one. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us by nature is wicked and unrighteous. Every one of us. Now, if you acknowledge yourself as such a person as that, I have good news for you. Yes, I do. It was good news for me, and it is good news for you. I have good news only for those who know themselves to be by nature wicked and unrighteous. These are the only people God calls the wicked and the unrighteous. So let's consider these exhortations unto salvation. First, here it is. Seek Jehovah while he may be found. That's the first exhortation. Seek Jehovah while he may be found. Now, what is it to seek Jehovah? First of all, it is to seek Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is Jehovah. This we know. Both Paul and Peter called Jesus our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that sufficient for you? Both Peter and Paul call him our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thomas called him my Lord and my God, and so do I. And Jehovah said, when I send Jesus Christ, you must call him by this name, Jehovah, our righteousness. That's the name Jehovah gave to Jesus Christ. Jehovah, our righteousness. To seek Jehovah is to seek Jesus Christ. And we are told we're to seek him now. Right now, I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say to you, seek Jehovah while he may be found. To seek Jehovah is to completely resort to him. It is not merely to look for him. It is to completely resort to him. And he says to us that you will seek Jehovah your God and you will find him if you seek, the word is resort, if you resort to him with all your soul. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29. That's the only way you're going to find him. You've got to seek him with every fiber of your being. It's not merely to look for him. It is to find him and to resort to him completely and thoroughly. It is to renounce all other gods, all other hopes, all other refuges, and say, I resort to Jesus Christ alone. That's what it is to seek him while he may be found. Now, when should he be sought? We just said it. While he may be found. If he says to seek me while I may be found, it stands to reason that there is coming a day when he will not be found. Seeking while he may be found. There is coming a time when some will seek him and he will not be found. That's a dreadful thought, my friend. Think about this. Some will seek Jesus Christ and he will not be found by them. He says to us, this is Jesus Christ speaking, the divine wisdom, in Proverbs 1, chapter verses 22 through 33. Listen to what Jesus Christ says. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. Is that not some of the most dreadful and terrible words in all of God's holy word? That's dreadful. That is dreadful. I will laugh at you when your calamity comes. Why will he laugh? He says, I called you. I beckoned you. I told you to come. You refused me. Therefore, when that day comes and you see the error of your way and you seek me, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to mock your terror. I hope that happens to no one here tonight. If it does, you have no one to blame but yourself. Jesus calls now. He says, come to me now, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Come now. Come now. He promises to receive you if you come now. And I have come to him and I'm still coming. It is always coming. I want you to come right now. If you've never come before. If you have come, keep coming. Keep coming. Do not be among those at whom he mocks in the day of their terror. He says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Jehovah. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Some will seek Christ on their deathbeds and will not find him. He left some people one day and he said, I am departing from you and you will die in your sins. Think about it. On their deathbeds, trying to find him. And he says, no, I will not be found. That's a dreadful thought. Some will seek him at the last day. When they realize they waited too long, they're going to knock on his door and he'll say, depart, I never knew you. I never knew you. You would not seek me when I would be found. Now you'll seek me and I will not be found. Seek him now. Right now. I tell you truly and sincerely, as David told Solomon, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. The thing about preaching the good news is bad news goes along with it as well. This gospel I preach to you is good news to those who believe, but it's bad news to those who reject. I hope there's no one here going to reject. Seek him while he may be found. The phrase, seek him while he may be found, implies also seek him where he may be found. As in, seek the Lord where he may be found. Now, where would you find him? If I'm going to look for Marvin Stalnaker, if I want to find him and talk with him, where's the most logical place to go? His house. His house. That's where he is more than any place else, is it not? And if he is not there, there's probably someone there who knows where he is. If you look for someone, go to his house. That's the most logical place. Would you seek Christ? Go to his house. He has a house. It is his church. If you're looking for Christ, it is the house of God, the church of the living God. I can tell you this. I must speak to you plainly and bluntly, but I must tell you this. You'll not find Christ in a whorehouse. He's not there. You go looking for him and they're going to say, no, he never comes here. He's never been here. He has no business here. He's not here. You will not find him in a house of ill repute. And I say that not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm as well. It is with good reason that the Holy Scriptures speak of false religion as a harlot. It's good reason. And the houses of worship in false religion are whorehouses. Houses where harlots ply their trade. You won't find him there. You will not find him there. He is found in his house, not in houses of ill repute. He is not found in the houses of the wicked. But it does say this, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So, seeking there. Do not go looking for him where they meet in someone else's name. I'm going to say to you that I am rather confident that if you're looking for Jesus Christ, you can find him in this building right now. I'm confident of that. You can find him in his house. He's here. There are at least two or three. I thought when I pulled in tonight, next time I come here, I'm going to come early so I can get a good parking spot. There's more than two or three of us. He's here. He's here. Would you seek him? Here's a good place to find him, and now is a good time. And then the second exhortation is call upon Jehovah while he is near. Call upon him. What is it to call upon him? It is to cry out to him for mercy and for grace. It is to cry out urgently for help. It is to express with the mouth the faith that is in the heart. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of Jehovah shall be saved. To call upon him is to stand before him like that tax collector who said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what it is to call upon him. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He'll hear that prayer. He'll hear that prayer. Just call upon him. Some preachers will put a sinner's prayer in your mouth. I don't need to do that. I don't need to tell you what to say. I do not need to put words in your mouth. Sinners know what to say. They beg for mercy. And God hears. Call upon him. That's what it is. When should you call upon him? Right now. While he is near. Because there's coming a time when he will not be found. When is he near? He is never nearer than he is when and where the gospel is preached. That is where and when he is found. Where the gospel is preached. The Lord is near to those and all who call upon him. And to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will hear their cry and save them. Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. I can assure you that he's here right now. We have gathered in his name. We sang a hymn of praise to his name. A couple of hymns we sang. We have called upon him. His gospel is being preached right now. I'm confident of that. And I'm saying to you that he's near. Right here. He's near. Call upon him right now. He is never nearer to sinners than when they hear his gospel. He is never farther from sinners than when they depart from him. Third exhortation, forsake your wicked way and your unrighteous thoughts. And here we are described both outwardly and inwardly. Your way is what you do outwardly. Look at a man's life, that's his way. His manner of life is his way of life. His way is the way he lives. Your unrighteousness is what you are inwardly. Your unrighteous thoughts are the evil desires and purposes that fill the heart of the unrighteous. Forsake them. Get away from them. If your thoughts are unrighteous, then your way will be wicked. And we are told the way of the wicked is an abomination to Jehovah. It is an abomination. If you know that something is abominable to Jehovah, would you not want to forsake it? Would you not? As long as you stay in that way, he'll not hear you. He'll not hear you. Forsake that way. Now that's the negative aspect. And it goes even further than that. I must warn you not only against wicked living, but also against wicked religion. Do not resort to it. Jesus Christ declares, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. It is a wicked religion that tells you you can come in some other way. Jesus said he's a thief and a robber who tries to come in any other way. It is a wicked religion that tells you that you can come to God through baptism. It is a wicked religion that tells you that you can come to God through keeping the law. In the first place, you cannot. And in the second place, you're a wicked man if you try to keep the law and forsake Christ. It is a wicked religion that tells you that the way to God is through keeping Sabbath. It is a wicked religion that tells you that the way to God is to abstain from pork or anything else. Anything else. It is a wicked religion that tells you that you can obtain favor before God by anything other than through faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He himself said, I am the way, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, forsake the way of wicked religion. Forsake the way of wicked living. Forsake it and forsake it now. Now that's the negative aspect. There is now a positive aspect. Return to Jehovah, our God. Return. Stands to reason that if we're told to return to Jehovah, we must have already departed from Him. You cannot return to someone from whom you never departed. I have returned here tonight because I was here once before. And I left and came back. I have returned. You cannot return from a place where you've never been. When were you ever with Jehovah? You're told to return to God. How can you return to God if you never were with God? When were you with God? In the Garden of Eden. In your father Adam. He's your federal head. Your representative. The head of our race. We were in Him in the Garden of Eden. He stood before God as our representative. When God came down and walked in the cool of the day with Adam in the garden, walked with us because we were in Adam. When He sinned, we sinned. When He fell, we fell. When He died, we died. When He departed from God, we departed from God. We were in Adam, our father. But now, God says, you departed from me. Come back. Return. Return. Come back to me. He calls. Come back to me. Return to God. This call, return to Jehovah, indicates the second and positive aspect of evangelical conversion. The first and negative aspect is abandon all your wickedness. Forsake your wicked ways. The second and positive aspect is return to Jehovah, your God. How do you return to Him? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come to me. How do you come to me? By faith. Coming to Christ, or going to Christ, if you will, is the longest trip you will ever make. It will also be the quickest trip you ever took. Because when you take the first step, you have arrived. You're there. Come to me. The longest trip you'll ever take, the quickest trip you'll ever take. You come to Christ by faith. He that comes to me, he says, is he that believes in me. Return to Jehovah. Come to him now. Come to Christ and find in him the only way to the Father, and walk Christ the way, all the way home. This return, this call, return to Jehovah, is followed by two gracious promises. Here's the first. This is so sweet. He says, I will have mercy on you. Is that not sweet? For mercy needing sinners, for mercy seeking sinners, he simply says, forsake your wicked ways and your unrighteous thoughts, return to me. I'll have mercy on you. I will have mercy on you. What is mercy? Mercy is much related to grace. They both are unmerited favor, but there's a difference in them. Mercy is God withholding from you all the bad that you deserve. Grace, on the other hand, is God giving to you all the good you do not deserve. Mercy, God withholds what you deserve. Grace, he gives you what you do not deserve. He says, I will have mercy on you. I will withhold from you the punishment you justly deserve. Oh, that's good news. I deserve to die. And here he tells me that if I forsake my wicked way and return to him, he will hold the gates of hell from me. He promises. He promises. But now remember, there is a positive aspect. If you forsake your wicked way and return to the Lord, he says, I will have mercy on you, and I will, here's the positive part, in grace I will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. That means he will multiply pardon to you. Just multiply it. The old Puritans used to speak of Adam's fall. They spoke of it with this term. They called it the fortunate fall. Now, I have a problem with that word fortunate. I just don't believe in fortune, okay? I understand the concept. But I will tell you this. Adam's fall was a blessed fall. Oh, there was a blessing in Adam's fall. Oh, wait a minute. It brought condemnation. Yes, it did. It brought death. Yes, it did. Brought sin into the world. Yes, it did. But on the other hand, Adam's fall was a blessed fall. If Adam had never fallen, I never would have known Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If Adam had never fallen, I'd have never known what it is to be saved. I'd have never known what justification is. I'd have never known what sanctification is. I never would have known what it is to be reconciled unto God had it not been for that blessed fall of Adam. God says, I will not only pardon, I will abundantly pardon. Adam's fall was a blessed fall also in that we gained in Christ more than we lost in Adam. In Adam's fall, we lost everything. Everything! We're bankrupt! Pitiful! Pathetic! In Adam's fall, we lost everything. In Jesus Christ, we gained more than we lost. More than we lost. Our blessings are infinite, eternal, complete and thorough. God says, I will abundantly pardon. Ah, Lord, do you happen to know what kind of a sinner I am, chief of sinners? He says, my grace is greater than your sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I've got good news for sinners. God is bigger than you are. God's grace is greater than your sin. And He will abundantly pardon. You call upon Him, He'll pardon. Every time I've called upon Him, He pardoned. Every time. I call upon Him daily. His mercies are new every morning. He says to us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, that your iniquity is pardoned and you have received from Jehovah's hand double for all your sins. Double for all your sins. Meaning that God's grace is greater than your sins. Infinitely more. I love these gospel invitations. I obey them every day. Seek Jehovah while He may be found. Do it right now. Join me. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Jehovah and He will have mercy upon him. Let him return to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He will. Come to Him right now. Call upon Him right now.